Trend number two, Gen Z's disruptive psychological crisis. Largely because of differing environmental circumstances, every generation has its own cohort psychological characteristics, which fundamentally influence its behaviors. In the 1990s, Neil Howe and William Strauss described this phenomenon and the primary geopolitical, cultural, and economic implications. Their schema has played a big role in the long-term forecasting models used by trends. Because the boomer and millennial generations are so large and represent such large shares of the workforce, consumer base, and voting population, they get most of our attention. Meanwhile, Gen X is treated more as a transition between the two larger generations. Until very recently, we've lacked the data needed to understand Gen Z. But since they entered college campuses and workplaces around 2017, we've been able to see how they respond to adult challenges and make their own decisions. Perhaps the best analysis to date appears in the just-published landmark book titled Generations, The Real Differences Between Gen Z, Millennials, Gen X, Boomers, and Silence, and What They Mean for America's Future. The author is psychologist Jean M. Twenge of the University of Chicago. Twenge began studying the differences between generations in the early 1990s, and she has published many studies on the subject. Twenge documented the rise in individualism that began with the baby boomers and continued with the millennials. But it wasn't until 2012 that she noticed the data really beginning to change. As she observes, quote, "There were abrupt shifts in teen behaviors and emotional states. The gentle slopes of the line graphs became steep mountains and sheer cliffs. And many of the distinctive characteristics of the millennial generation began to disappear. In all my analyses of generational data, some reaching back to the 1930s, I had never seen anything like it," end quote. Almost 30% of American girls have clinical depression, and it's the same across the Anglosphere. Furthermore, the suicide rate for 10 to 24-year-olds has tripled. In 2017, Twenge published a book about this distressed generation titled iGen, which identified the smartphone as the culprit. Now, 6 years later, a growing mountain of evidence validates Twenge's theories. In Generations, she crunches the data from polls and surveys involving 39 million people in the U.S. and U.K. The resulting conclusions are highly disturbing. As subscribers know, our world is shaped by interactions between trends in human behavior, demography, and technology, within the context of physical laws and constraints. Generational psychologists like Twenge have long known that major events like wars, pandemics, and depressions help shape the character and attitudes of different generations. Based on this framework, Strauss and Howe observed that generations cycle through four different psychological archetypes: idealist, reactive, civic, and adaptive. Notably, the demographic and behavioral factors behind wars, pandemics, and depressions change slowly. And until the 19th century, technology changed slowly as well. However, since then, technology has been changing at a rapid and ever-accelerating pace. Twenge argues that, for the first time in history, rapidly evolving technology shapes our psychology to a greater degree than major historical events like wars, pandemics, and depressions. As she puts it, quote, "The long-term impact of these major events is fairly limited in terms of how it influences values and day-to-day life. But when you think about technology, especially with the downstream effects on individualism and life strategy, it has a much more wide-ranging impact." In short, Twenge believes, quote, "It really is technology that makes living now different from what it was like to live 150 years ago or 50 years ago or even 20 years ago, rather than a big event," end quote. As shown in the printable trends issue, changing technologies not only directly influence generational differences, but indirectly influence those differences by shaping our preference for collectivism versus individualism, and the pace at which individuals mature, as well as the major events which generational psychologists have previously focused upon. That's important because technology moves relentlessly forward. While generational life cycles and economic conditions reliably conform to recurring life, death, and boom bust patterns. Like more familiar major events, the adoption of a major technology either exacerbates or suppresses inherent cultural traits. As Twenge observes, a society that was already very individualistic, like the United States, was likely to find those applications of the internet, which increased individualism, highly appealing. As she puts it, quote, "Western society came into internet access with rising individualism already as a very strong trend. Individualism, like any cultural system, has its upsides and downsides," end quote. The upside is more freedom and more opportunity for people regardless of their demographic makeup. The downsides are disconnection and sometimes narcissism. And according to generations, one major downside for Zoomers and Millennials has been the epidemic of loneliness, covered in prior issues of Trends. As Twenge puts it, one of the eye-popping facts is that teens are much lonelier now than they were 15 years ago. And that's true in 36 countries around the world, when we were able to look at the Program for International Student Assessment, or PISA, data, end quote. This is a seeming paradox, since teens are always communicating. However, there is a big difference between interacting online and interacting face-to-face. As Twenge observes, interacting face-to-face tends to be more cooperative and more emotionally close. Quote, "It's more honest, but it's also more agreeable. People have a very strong tendency online to say cruel things that they would never say to someone's face," end quote. A further paradox is that it's the young rather than the old who are lonely in the 2020s. According to Twenge, the silent generation needs the least sympathy. Quote, "They're the least likely to be anxious, and they are the happiest," end quote. The other factor adversely affecting Zoomers is their unwillingness to grow up. Since the beginning of the millennium, this is reflected in a precipitous drop in the proportion of high school seniors having experienced traditionally adult activities, such as working for pay. And this decline in the pace of maturation correlates with the rise in social media usage and the decline in life satisfaction. This is becoming a problem that reaches far beyond Zoomers and their parents. It has potentially adverse implications for population growth, labor force participation rates, worker productivity, consumer spending, political stability, healthcare costs, and even national security. To address this looming crisis, Twenge argues that Gen Z needs help. Quote, they're so sad and so convinced the world's appalling that they don't even want kids themselves. They are more likely to report that they don't think they will have children. And that was particularly interesting. The percentage of 18-year-olds who say they were likely to have children was high and very stable from about 1976 to 2012, before it started to go down. It was stable for 3.5 decades and then started to change, which is really striking, end quote. Typically, they justify their decisions based on economics. They say they can't afford it. However, the data shows that millennials and Zoomers are not materially worse off than previous generations were at the same age. However, they don't see their future in the same positive light that silence, boomers, and even Gen Xers did. Actually, the disadvantage is only in their minds. In fact, for Gen Z, the recent labor shortages should represent the kind of opportunity the silent generation enjoyed from 1950 to 1966. So, it's safe to say that the problem is not reality, it's perception. Some of the most astonishing data show that much of Gen Z in America genuinely thinks that they live at the most misogynistic, racist time in history, even though these things are demonstrably untrue. Why are these kids so resistant to facts? Twenge hypothesizes that it's related to the increase in depression. Quote, depression isn't just about emotion. It's about thinking and cognition. It's about how you see the world. And with more depression, you are going to get more pessimism. Look, the negative view of the world, of course, has some truth to it. Every era has its challenges as well as its advantages. But if you take a step back and look at the time we're living in, the advantages are often not talked about. Sure, there is still racism and sexism, but a lot less than there was just 50 years ago, end quote. This model assumes depression comes first, and the kids start looking for negative facts to validate their pessimism. Not surprisingly, online discussions tend to emphasize the negative. Several academic studies show that negative news stories and negative posts on social media get more traction. Research indicates that people are less likely to be interested in positive things online and less likely to share them with others. Another problem is the tendency of Gen Z to avoid evidence which contradicts their preconceived notions. In order to coexist, boomers and Xers often have to agree to avoid difficult subjects like gender, race, and whether the world is getting better. And if we can't debate and discuss, we can't reconcile or change. That implies that the generational divide can never close. Given this trend, we offer the following forecast for your consideration. First, the next few years will prove critical in terms of shaping the trajectory of Gen Z and the balance of the 21st century. Attitudes and values developed in adolescence largely determine our actions later in life. Depending on these specific cutoff dates used, the oldest Zoomers are now as old as 28 and as young as 8. That means Zoomers will represent the vast majority of students and entry-level employees for the next 2 decades. They will also replace the silence as consumers and voters. More importantly, this generation will come to dominate the 18 to 54-year-old advertising demographic sought by Madison Avenue. So, if not redirected soon, Zoomers could become a lost generation, undermining our national well-being. Second, on average, Zoomers will follow the traditional generational birth, innovation, spending, and power waves, but on a delayed and muted basis. Assuming that they will enter permanent relationships and serious careers later and at lower frequencies, their consumption patterns will be distorted. However, since Gen Z emerged in the digital era with an extreme emphasis on individualism, it's unclear whether we can draw conclusions about this generation based on averages. The greatest generation, as well as the silent Boomer and Gen X generations, emerged from the mass production ethos. Millennials and Zoomers are the first generations to be shaped primarily by the digital techno-economic paradigm, which eschews mass media, mass markets, mass production, and political conformity. At Trends, our working hypothesis is that Zoomers will increasingly diverge into a highly productive traditionalist segment and a relatively dysfunctional avant-garde. Third, America's Big Sort will play a major role in determining how Zoomers and subsequent generations develop and impact our culture. As highlighted in the June 2023 Trends issue, a technology-enabled, values-driven wave of internal migration is underway between red states and blue states, as well as from the cities to the suburbs and countryside. After the 2030 census, this is expected to give red states a structural political advantage. Not surprisingly, less happy liberals will be drawn to blue states, and more happy conservatives will be drawn to red states. Over time, this will further weaken blue state economies relative to those in red states and increase the relative power of suburbs. Fourth, government and consumers will strive to reduce the adverse impact of technology on society, but effective solutions, if any exist, are unclear. In the end, we need social media companies not to be making billions from designing their algorithms to keep people on their apps as long as possible. But as the ongoing congressional debate over TikTok illustrates, it's difficult to balance adverse social impact, freedom of expression, and commercial innovation when it comes to regulation. The 2020s will see numerous studies, commissions, and court cases in both North America and the EU intended to resolve these conflicts. In the end, parents and children will make the decisions which matter most. And fifth, as the consequences of this trend become more apparent, Americans will increasingly demand the reform of dysfunctional institutions. While technology may have played an outsized role in enabling the Gen Z psychological crisis, K-12 education and the rise of debt-enabled college for all have created a generation lacking critical thinking skills and demonstrably detached from objective reality. If we are to solve the problem, implementing K-12 school choice and ending today's counterproductive federal student loan programs seem inevitable, then market forces will largely resolve this crisis.